Thank you, Ron. Hope you're all having a wonderful Sabbath. It's a little wet out there, but it seems very warm and cozy in here. So, to get started, in the NBA playoffs last year, the Cleveland Cavaliers had a motto of being all in. And that was a good attitude to have and a motto to have as it summed up their attitude on trying to and approaching on winning a championship. But they ended up coming up short on their pursuit of the 2018 title. However, their devotion to their goal led them to spend a lot of time and preparing themselves to win that championship and being the NBA champions for 1 year, and 1 year only. They spent countless hours preparing themselves for their opportunity. They spent time training their body and keeping themselves physically and mentally fit. They also pushed their bodies to perform at their absolute limits. They ate a proper and balanced diet. They also had their minds focused on the game of basketball and how to respond to all kinds of different situations. This was so that they could perform at their highest level possible physically and mentally. They were truly all in because they were committed to their cause 100%. And they played each game and every game as a crucial game that they had to win. They were not willing to allow one opportunity to pass them by, one crucial win that they could have needed. And this just showed how much effort people will expend on seeking a physical prize. We, however, are seeking a prize that is infinitely more valuable than a physical championship that lasts for just 1 year. Our prize won't last for 1 year. Instead, it will last for eternity. So we should instead be focused on the prize that our loving Father has offered us, which is eternal life in His kingdom. And this prize that our Father has offered us is through the sacrifice of our elder brother and is immensely more important. So are we willing to put in all the necessary work and effort to achieve this prize, or are we just content with taking the easy road? So brethren, are we truly all in, or are we still not willing to commit our lives fully to the cause and the calling that we've been given? Are we ready to step up to the challenges ahead and do, or do we prefer to take the easy road? It's our choice, but it's crucial that we make the proper choice. After all, there are no second chances for us. This is our opportunity now, and we need to make every effort right now to make sure that we do succeed in this calling that we've been given. So, brethren, are you all in on your mission of being part of God's family and His kingdom, or are you still allowing this world, this physical world right now, to hold you back? I hope that we can all answer that preparing ourselves to serve in God's family and be in His kingdom is our top priority in life, and that there is nothing that we're willing to let get in our way of achieving that goal. But the truth is that there are always things that we do allow to get in our way. That's just part of life. But what matters is how we handle these situations when they arise. After all, we are called to a life of change and growth. We are not to stay stagnant. And we also know that God does not believe in the motto that a lot of professing Christians believe in, which is take me as I am. We also know that God doesn't also believe in once saved, always saved, so I'm done. And this is because conversion is a lifetime process. It is not an event that you can just check off on your checklist of life. And one of the most important aspects of growth and change is coming out of this world while living in it. It's a challenge. It's a quandary, but it is doable. You can be in the world, but not of the world. After all, our Lord and Savior did exactly that when He was here. So why don't we turn to John 18, verse 36, and see how he answered Pilate when he asked him about him being a king. So in John 18, verse 36, it says, Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. So here we have Jesus plainly telling Pilate that he is not of this current world. This is not his world. While he was born into this current world, he was never a part of it, and he never allowed it to become a part of him. He was never a part of the society of this world. They learned both. As good and evil both became a part of their lives and their way of thinking. It was together in their minds as one, good and evil. However, this way of thinking effectively put a chasm between them and God. God was no longer able to come down and walk with them and talk with them like he used to. That way. He doesn't have good and evil thoughts. He only has good thoughts and good attitudes. And that is because with God, there is no minimum level of evil that is tolerable for him. His level is set at 0%. And we need to make this our goal too, even though we will come up short in this life at that goal. But that should be our goal. We need to strive to always think and act in a godly manner as we continue to grow in the faith. However, for people, this tree and this way of thinking have caused them to have the delusion that where they believe that both can coexist. Our society has come to the belief from this tree that you can have both of them, good and evil, as long as the good outweighs the evil. So it's a balancing act where you have more good than evil, they believe. But this is a lie that's perpetuated by Satan, and it's not godly thinking. This thinking is actually perpetuated by our adversary, the devil. And it's a lie that we're taught at birth. The moment we're born, we're automatically connected to this world and to the influences of Satan, and he immediately starts to influence our thinking. He doesn't waste one moment to influence our thinking or to program us to think like he does. After all, this way of thinking is, and how this works is a bit like how a smartphone works when it connects to the Wi-Fi. From the moment we're born, we automatically have the passcode. We have the password to connect to Satan's Wi-Fi. And that happened to everyone the moment they were born. And this connection has continued to us up to the point when God called us out of this world, and it's up to us to make the decision to disconnect from Satan's Wi-Fi. So why don't we turn to Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 3, and see what Paul says here about the way we used to live in our minds. In Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." So we were a part of this world before, Paul is plainly telling us here. So why don't we read this again from the easy-to-read version to better understand what Paul is saying here. So in the easy-to-read version it says, "In the past you were spiritually dead because of your sins and the things you did against God. Yes, in the past your lives were full of those sins. You live the way the world lives, following the ruler of the evil powers that are above the earth. That same spirit is now working in those who refuse to obey God. In the past, all of us lived like that, trying to please our sinful selves. We did all the things our bodies and minds wanted. Like everyone else in the world, we deserve to suffer God's anger just because of the way we were." So Paul's making it quite clear here that we used to think this way. However, he's also instructing us that we need to sever this connection to the world and the sinful ways in which we had operated formerly. We are being implored to come out of this world and to bring our minds out of this world too, that is led and controlled by Satan the devil. This is his world, and he doesn't want to let you go. He wants to hold you any way back. He wants to hold you back any way possible. And he won't stop trying to pull us back into his world, into his way of thinking. That's his goal. He wants to win, but we know he will not win in the end. But we have a different calling, a different mission right now. Our Heavenly Father has called us right now out of this world while living in this world. He has and has extended to us the opportunity to be in his family for all of eternity. However, he does require us to disconnect from this world and the influences of this world. And the spring holiday season reminds us that we do need to disconnect from this world and we do need to remove this world from us. It reminds us each and every year. And that also reminds us that we are in the process of conversion. So let's take a look and see just how valuable this calling, this gift from God is. So why don't we turn back to Matthew 13, verse 44, and see what Jesus says here about the kingdom of God. So in Matthew 13, verse 44, Jesus says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." So Jesus is likening God's kingdom to a treasure in a field where it was so valuable to this man that he was willing to give up everything he had for it. And then continue on in verse 45 through 46. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." So this merchant likewise saw this great pearl of great value likened to God's kingdom, and there wasn't anything he was willing to hold back to obtain that pearl, that prize. And these scriptures from Jesus make it quite clear to us that we need to value our calling and gift of eternal life in God's kingdom above everything else. They also clearly tell us what God expects from us, which is he expects everything from us. He wants us to give all our effort to achieving this goal. This prize is so valuable that there is no way that we could ever afford it on our own. There's no way we could ever qualify on our own for this prize. Yet our loving Father has generously offered us this immense opportunity, and all that it cost us was everything that we own and everything that we have, which is a bargain for us. There's no way we could ever have done it on our own. And this is because our Father and Elder Brother expect us to be fully committed to this way of life, our calling. They expect us and require us to be all in, and this requires daily work on our part. This is our life now. So how do we go ahead and accomplish this? Well, why don't we turn to Romans 12, verse 1 through 2, and see what we need to be doing. In Romans 12, verses 1 through 2, Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." So we're to be a living sacrifice, not a one-time dead sacrifice. We are to live every day as a sacrifice to God, living his way of life and doing what we need to do. And in verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And why don't we look at the verse 2 again from the New Century Version to have a different look at it. Here it says, "Do not be shaped by this world. Instead, be changed within by a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to decide what God wants for you. You will know what is good and pleasing to him and what is perfect." So here we're told the real work of what we need to be doing right now in our lives. It's not just good enough for God to have us improve our way of thinking and acting. He's not looking for an improvement on our part. Instead, we're instructed by Paul to completely change our way of thinking. We're told to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And to be transformed, it means to be completely changed into something new. For example, it's like a butterfly. A butterfly didn't start life by always being a butterfly. It started life as a caterpillar. It had no wings. It got its nutrients. It ate plants to get its nutrients. And then it went to a cocoon, underwent a metamorphosis. And that's where this word transform comes from. So the caterpillar went into a metamorphosis, and then it emerged as a beautiful butterfly that no longer ate plants. It now had wings. It flew around. It drank nectar out of flowers. It was a different creature than when it went into that cocoon. And this actually gets to the heart of the matter, because it's never good enough to just improve our way of thinking. After all, we're told here to renew our minds. To renew it doesn't mean to change it. It means to bring it back to the way of brand new, to take it back to a new way of thinking. So it's a complete change, not just a modification. So we should instead be completely changing the very nature of how we think and what we think about. And this brings us to the ultimate purpose of the scripture. We need to completely change our character and attitude to be like that of our Father. We need to stop acting and thinking like this world does. And this sounds hard because it is really hard to do. God has called us to do something that is humanly impossible, and He fully knows this. However, He has given us a helper to enable us to perform this mighty work that He has given us. And He is performing a miracle in each and every one of us right now. While this miracle might not be as flashy as when He had Moses and Israel go through the Red Sea and divided the Red Sea, it is no less miraculous nor important. And just like Moses had to do his part in crossing the Red Sea, so do we have our part to do in this miracle. We can't just sit by and wait for God to perform this miracle. We have to be actively working and taking our approach and our attitudes and work on ourselves to make this miracle happen. And this is where it all comes together. During the upcoming days of unleavened bread, we are exhorted to purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. And we all have old leaven in our lives. We all have sin in our lives. It's just part of this carnal mind that we're born with. Some of us, however, have accumulated more leaven, more sin than others in our lives. Yet we all deal with the exact same affliction. And while we've been removing leaven, sin from our lives, there's always more to do. There's always more leaven that we will find. There's always more leaven in our lives that we will need to remove, and this is because we're undergoing a metamorphosis right now. Unfortunately for us, it's not as easy like we will hope to just take our mind out and just put a new mind in. Physically, we can't do that. We have this mind, and we have to change this mind. We have to renew it and transform into a godly mind, a godly way of thinking. So it takes a lot of effort and work on our part, and we need to go to war to see this accomplished. So why don't we turn to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5. So in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5, Paul writes, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." And why don't we look at this again from the New Century Version, where it says, We do live in the world, but we do not fight in the same way the world fights. We fight with weapons that are different from those the world uses. Our weapons have power from God that can destroy the enemy's strong places. We destroy people's arguments and every proud thought thing that raises itself against the knowledge of God. We capture every thought and make it give up and obey Christ. And this gets to the heart of the matter. And this is exactly what we need to remember. Even though we are in the world, we are not of the world. And we should not continue to live and think as when we were once a part of the world. We need to vanquish those thoughts, those wrong thoughts that we have and we have from the world, and bring them into subjection to the thoughts of God and His way of thinking. And by drawing upon the power of His Holy Spirit, where we are able to use this superpower that He has given us to win control of our minds from the influence of this world and Satan, who controls this world. After all, we're clearly instructed here to capture every thought and make it give up and obey Christ. And this is where we need to start deprogramming ourselves with God's help from the influences of our society that we were born into. After all, our society has influenced our thinking and actions way more than we're actually willing to admit. It's just hard to understand the extent of it when you're just standing in the middle of it and you just can't see how much it really is. So let me give you an example. So my grandma moved to Little Rock, Arkansas during World War II to work at a factory. And while she was living there, she had to ride the bus to get around. So one day she got on the bus and she saw that there were plenty of empty seats on the back of the bus. So she thought, that's a great place to sit because there's plenty of seats. So she went back there and sat down. Then she realized everyone's looking at her and she couldn't figure out what was going on. She thought there was dirt in her hair. Her hair was messed up. She had something wrong with her clothing. She's like, what is going on here? Why is everyone looking at me? So she was completely confused by that situation. And then a few days later, she had to ride the bus again. And this time she was with her girlfriend. So she got on the bus and she saw again, there's plenty of seats in the back. Let's go sit back there. But then her girlfriend grabbed her and told her she can't sit back there. And she was confused. She's like, why not? There's plenty of seats back here. She's like, oh, you can't sit by those people. She's like, why? They look like nice people. Why can't I sit back there? So she was really confused and could not make any sense of this. And this whole event occurred because she was not raised or born in this country. She had not been influenced by this society or this culture. She had grown up in a completely different culture. So naturally, the way of thinking that seemed rather ordinary to people here was completely foreign to her. That is why she was completely confused by the situation. However, the society she did grow up in did have influences on her likewise that would be foreign to a person born in this society, in this country. And a person going to Czechoslovakia will likewise be confused at some of the situations and events that would have occurred there. And this just shows how some of the wrong thoughts that are perpetuated by our society can become so completely ingrained into our way of thinking that we can fail to recognize them as being part of this world and not being part of God's way of thinking. After all, Satan is very clever. He is very smart, and he knows how to make his way of thinking seem normal and how to disguise and make it look like that's just part of how society operates and the culture around us, and it's all okay. It's just part of society and culture. But Paul warned us in 2 Corinthians 11:14 that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So we need to be wary of this. And this is one way that we need to be all in. And when we were baptized, we became citizens of a better country with a better culture. We became citizens of God's kingdom and the culture that exists within it. And even though we live in this world, this is not our world, and we are not to be of this world. And this is the metamorphosis that we need to undergo. We need to examine all our thoughts, all our beliefs, and compare them with God's word and His commandments and see whether they are godly or worldly. If they're worldly, then we need to remove them and kick them to the curb. If they're godly, then we need to embrace them and nurture them and grow them. And over time, eventually the ways of our society and our culture will become more and more foreign to us. And eventually we will feel as though we don't belong in this world. This world doesn't fit with us and our way of thinking. We need to come to the point where the thoughts of God's kingdom and His way of thinking and His society become natural for us and our way of thinking. Unfortunately, I can't tell you what these thoughts and beliefs are for you that you need to remove. They're different for each and every one of us. We were all born and had different life experiences and different society experience and cultural experience. And that is why we celebrate the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread each and every year. They remind us that this conversion process is an ongoing process and that there is always more worldly thoughts and beliefs and attitudes to root out of our hearts and minds. And they also show us that there are always more of God's way of thinking that we need to put into our hearts and minds. After all, we all struggle with this. That's why celebrating God's festivals every year is important. And that's why we study God's Word, we pray to Him, we meditate upon His Word and His thoughts. And this allows us to examine ourselves and see how we measure up to God's way of thinking, His attitudes, and His thoughts. And it's a tough part to measure up to. And let's just turn to Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 9, to see how vastly different God's way of thinking is from ours. So in Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And how high are the heavens above the earth? They're infinite. That's how much higher and better God's thoughts are than the carnal thoughts that we were born with. And this just shows you how far apart are the way the carnal mind works and the way God's mind works. It isn't even a close comparison. God's thoughts and ways are so superior to ours that it's never good enough to just rehab our mind. Instead, we need to completely change our way of thinking, as Paul implored us in Romans. And unfortunately, our loving Father has given us the tools to accomplish this task that He expects of us. Of course, He knows that we will never be perfect in this life. It's just not physically possible. But He never expects us to stop striving and working and changing and trying. And fortunately, God is right there with us each step of the way, helping us as we implore Him in our prayers and ask for His abundant mercy. And the story has occurred time and time again throughout the pages of the Bible. For example, Moses, he had to remove the influence of his society and culture from his way of thinking as he led Israel out of Egypt and through the wilderness. He became a new creation during this 40-year period. He no longer lost his temper as easily as he once did. He had to learn to live by faith during this period of time. And yes, he was tested during this time period, and he did struggle at points. It's right there in the Bible for us to all to read. Yet he persevered and he never gave up. He endured to the end and he set a wonderful example of what is possible with God's mercy and His help. And at the end, he no longer thought as an Egyptian or a Midianite or even as one of the Israelites that he was leading. Instead, he thought and acted as an ambassador of God's kingdom. He had changed his way of thinking. After all, Moses was all in, and this meant that God was all in with him too. And this is the same for each and every one of us. And then for example, in the New Testament, we have Peter, who struggled with the influences of the culture that he was raised in and that he lived in. But he was able to overcome all these influences, even though he did stumble at times. And while Peter could be a bit impulsive at times, he was fully committed and his zeal could never be questioned. When Jesus called him, Peter knew that he was a sinner, and he knew that his thoughts were shaped by the world around him. So why don't we turn to Luke 5, verse 8, and see what Peter tells Jesus at that time. So in Luke 5, verse 8, it says, "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" So Peter knew exactly who he was at that time. Yet this was exactly the heart and attitude that Jesus was looking for and that he could work with. He knew that Peter, along with all the other apostles, had great potential and could succeed in transforming their minds. He knew that they would be all in. And Peter did struggle at times. After receiving God's Holy Spirit, he even stumbled. However, God used Peter to show that he was at one time calling Gentiles into the church when he called Cornelius and his family. Yet after this time, Peter still struggled with the influence of the society around him when he was around the Gentiles. So why don't we turn to Galatians 2, verse 11 through 14, and see what Paul says here about Peter. Galatians 2, verse 11 through 14. Here, Paul writes, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision." So here we have Paul basically saying Peter would eat with the Gentiles, behave one way, and then when certain Jews came, Peter acted and behaved in a completely different way. And continue on. "And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." So Peter, what he was doing, was able to influence the other Jews around him to put on the society values rather than godly values of the time. And even Barnabas got carried away with this hypocrisy with this. And in verse 14, Paul writes, "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, 'If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews?'" So Paul is basically telling Peter here, "I know you, Peter. I know what a good Jew is. You're not a good Jew. You're just putting on a show here, doing all this. You're not a good Jew. You need to act and be straightforward to the calling you've been given." But here we have Peter slipping back into his old bad habits from the society and the culture that he was taught. He was letting society influence his thinking and thus his behavior. Yet we know that this is not the end of the story. Peter did persevere and overcome these wrong ways of thinking. He saw what was wrong with his thinking and he was able to correct it. After all, on the Passover, he was ready to have Jesus wash his whole body to make sure that he was connected. When he saw that he needed to have a connection, when Jesus told him that I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. So he wasn't about to allow some cultural rules to keep him from being connected to Jesus and the Father. And this attitude allowed him to enable his ministry to be all in and for him to be all in. But the lessons and examples don't just stop there. God is still doing a great work. And his children are still undergoing a metamorphosis of the mind today. And we are his children as long as we seek his will and to have his will accomplished in our lives. While we might still live in this present world, we are not of this world. We are citizens of a far better country, a far better world. And every day the thoughts and actions of this world should seem more and more foreign to us and more abstract to our way of thinking that we are developing, our way of behaving. We should no longer be living as this world does, because this world doesn't live without hope. It has no hope. We do. We have real hope. And God exhorts us in Revelation 18:4 to come out of this world, lest we share in her sins, and lest we receive of her plagues. Physically, we cannot leave this planet, but mentally, we can. We all have free will and control of our minds. We are able to make the decision of what to put into them and what to remove from them. We are also able to decide what we want to focus and think about. So let's disconnect from the Wi-Fi of this world and the influences that it brings. Let's dedicate ourselves wholeheartedly to studying God's Word and putting His principles into action in our lives. And let's use the power of His Holy Spirit to transform our mind from a carnal mind to a mind that focuses on the better things of a better world, God's kingdom. After all, our battles are not physical battles as this world is used to. Instead, our battles are spiritual battles for control of our mind. If we do nothing, we'll let Satan continue to control our minds. However, we've been offered a price that is so valuable that we cannot afford to do nothing. So we have to take control of our minds and the way of it, how it thinks. And we can no longer allow the ways of this world to influence us. We have to make the ways of this world foreign to us, as they are not part of our Father's kingdom or our kingdom, our home. Jesus prayed for us in John 17 when he asked his Father and our Father that we shall live in this world, but not be of this world. We know that God is doing his part, and he definitely answered that prayer with a yes, absolutely. So let's continue to do our part on this epic journey that we have embarked upon, the transformation of our mind. And let's never lose our focus in this endeavor. So let's make sure that we're always able to say we're all in doing our part to seeing this miracle performed and ensuring that God's will is done. And also ensuring that God will award us that precious crown when Jesus returns to bring his kingdom and our kingdom to this planet. Have a wonderful Sabbath.